Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We appreciate you getting up with us. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Together, we are Payne and Pendergast. Seth's off to a good start. He's in a good mood today, I can tell.
I'm in a hell of a mood. There's just something about, you know, sometimes you just got to sit back and practice gratitude, Sean. That's what all the podcasts tell you these days. Get yourself an app, you know, for $1.99 a month that reminds you to practice gratitude. But I'm just sitting here thinking about all these other sad sack Major League Baseball teams who have seen so many fewer than 22 pitchers in the first 20 or so baseball games. Like Astros, they keep rolling them out. They keep rolling them out. Yep. Forrest Whitley, yeah, why not? It's time.
Why?
Is it time? Because there's nobody else.
There's nobody left. Yeah, there's nobody left. I love me a good buffet.
Certainly, you can't. Nobody knows where Ryan Pressly is. That's the big controversy right now is whether or not Ryan Pressly is actually Ryan Pressly or if it's a reptile replacement. That's all the buzz on the internet right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Keeping Dubin in last night. That was interesting. As you can tell, if you're just waking up, you can tell by the tone. The Astros lose again last night. It was very similar to the to the first game of this series, where it was a very low-scoring, close game. Braves scraped together a couple of runs somehow, some way, this time by a home run that nobody could really tell if it was a home run.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was. We've got that audio later, too. It ended up being not that that controversial of a call.
Right.
But yeah, well, Altuve struck out on a ridiculously inside pitch.
Yeah.
There was... Look, if you're gonna start Forrest Whitley,
well, they didn't start him. I mean,
yesterday if you're gonna give him his first time in major leagues, this is as good a time as any, I guess.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's bittersweet. I really feel like there should have been if we'd had more lead time yesterday, could have been Forrest Whitley Day. I'm not even being sarcastic, Sean. I'm sitting there. I'm thinking about the plight, and I'm reading a couple articles on Forrest Whitley this morning about the litany of medical and non-medical issues he's had.
Oh, it's an amazing story. It really is.
And honestly, there should be more country music songs about minor league pitchers. If it weren't for the fact that guys like Forrest Whitley have made several million dollars down that long ego bludgeoning road, then there's one thing. But the guys, you know, the minor leaguers who aren't making the big coin, the plight is the same, whether you're making money or not. It's a constant kick in the nargs when it comes to your self-esteem.
Yep.
And it's year after year. They're like, nope, you're actually not good enough. Yeah, you're one of the best in the world, but you're not good enough.
Not good enough, man.
So Forrest Whitley gets his chance and ultimately ends up being a non-factor. There could have been a rally if maybe Espada had pulled Hunter Brown earlier, if he had pulled Dubin earlier, if Ryan Pressly were alive, anything. There could have been an actual rally in the ninth inning, but it was all for nothing.
Yeah, it looked a lot like the game on Monday. Close low-scoring game, and then the Braves explode in the ninth inning. Forrest Whitley did come in, as Seth pointed out, got a couple outs, didn't give up any runs. He allowed a runner he inherited to score. But it was just, I mean, for Forrest Whitley, just getting on a major league mound was probably a pretty cool thing. They showed his family there. That was pretty cool. I think the best...
I've had enough of seeing all these families. They're all awesome. I'm not criticizing the families themselves. It's just, again, there's too many damn pitchers they've used this year.
Yeah.
It's not, and it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault except the baseball gods. They can all go to hell.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the fault of all those guys who couldn't make it out of the first or second inning a week or so ago.
That's true. It's their fault.
That is kind of their fault.
Including Hunter Brown. I blame Hunter Brown even despite last night's performance.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of their fault because that and injuries have set this pitching staff sideways to where they're having to option guys and bring guys up just to have fresh arms. That's how Forrest Whitley wound up in the major leagues yesterday. I would say the one positive to take away from yesterday's game is it looks like Hunter Brown figured a few things out after his last start where he couldn't get anybody out. Like, literally got two guys out and allowed 11 hits and 9 runs against a really good lineup. He was pretty solid. You know, like, he was solid enough. He had 6 innings, 2 runs. Here was Hunter Brown after the game yesterday talking about being able to bounce back.
That's probably the worst, if not one of the worst outings of my life. So, you know, I was chomping at the bit to get back out there. You know, I got my teammates' support, you know, leading up to this outing. So, you know, I want to go out there and try and deliver some quality innings for the club.
And he did. He pitched well enough to win. 6 innings, 2 runs with this lineup, you should be able to win the baseball game. Yeah, he was good. Hunter Brown was good. That was comforting to see him do what he did last night.
The one comforting thing that I think I heard this on Locked On Astros podcast was that this is the exact same record. Everybody just hold on until we finish.
Yeah.
Exact same record the Astros had at this point in 2016.
Oh.
And I hear you. I hear you, Astros historians. Hey, wait a second, Seth. Let me check my almanac.
Yeah,
the Astros didn't make the playoffs that year. Right. But they did win 84 games. The playoffs are larger this year. The playoffs have been expanded since. Would the expanded playoffs have made the playoffs in 2016?
That's what I'm checking right now. I need a minute. I still have the schedule open.
Let me shed a little bit more light on it for everybody.
Okay.
Alex Bregman hadn't even been called up at this point in 2016. So the equivalent effort that you got out of Alex Bregman, where he didn't get a hit hardly ever, just like he's doing right now.
Right.
Like that, he hadn't even showed up to not show up yet.
Hey, Forrest Whitley hadn't even been drafted yet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he'd be drafted.
Forrest Whitley, like, just like this year, had hardly been used until the very end of this
He hadn't
stretch.
Even been
yes.
drafted yet. Yeah, so I'm trying to find it. Baseball Reference is the worst when it comes to just the structure of the actual website.
If you're trying to go for something, just sometimes Wikipedia is the absolute the absolute best.
Yeah.
The whole thing about Hunter yesterday too was just, look, the problem in the last start was he was throwing everybody big old meatball strikes. It's like, here you go, I'm a fastball pitcher, I'm gonna serve him right up to you. He used more of the plate last night and ended up being just like, it was a much more professional performance, and it just needs to be more consistently that out of him and JP France.
Afternoon game today. So we get JP France today.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good. We get an afternoon game and Survivor in the evening.
I've got
no conflict of interest.
Oh, all right. You're watching it live tonight.
Yeah, I end up losing sleep because sometimes I wake up at 4 a.m. Or earlier than 4 a.m. to watch Survivor.
Yep.
And catch up on it. It's not the best use of my sleep time, Sean.
They would not have made the postseason in 2016. Okay. Yeah, they would.
So they need to rally
seventh
back.
Place in the AL.
Stronger and harder than they did in 2016.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably better.
What would the cutoff have been for the playoffs?
86
year?
Wins. They missed it by 2.
Yeah,
they missed by 2. So they need to amp it up a little bit. Hey, look, in 2016, they didn't start just 6-13. They started 6-15. So they've got a couple games of cushion, baby.
Obviously, where all of the starting pitching settles in is going to be a huge, huge deal here.
Yeah.
Maybe in the long run, it's a silver lining that Verlander misses the first part of the season, because then at his advanced age, he'll still be able to ration his innings out in more 7 and 8 inning chunks. Now that he's just missed, they've lopped off a month of his start.
He's motivated to get a bunch of innings though, because I know he's got that vesting option for next year. I got to check and see what it is.
I wonder if he even thinks about that though anymore. You know, I mean, it's good. It's a nice little carrot on a stick.
Yes, $35 million, man. I don't know if anybody's paying him $35 million next year if he doesn't.
Oh,
get that option.
Yeah, that's a good. Okay, all right, you know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but he would still get paid somewhere else. But you're right, he's not going to get paid.
Not like,
million.
Yeah, not like
if
he
does
was.
Specifically because if he doesn't reach that milestone, it's because of his age. He's
bingo,
not rebounding like he
yeah,
used
it's
to.
A self-fulfilling. Self-fulfilling okay. prophecy there.
So at $35 million, as rich as Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. I almost said Kate Hudson.
I like them both.
Be less glamorous. Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be a bad. He would have
like
been fine
both.
With either
yeah.
of them. $35 million is still a pretty nice carrot. By the time their child is in college, I'm guessing college tuition is going to be about $1.3 million per year.
$35 million.
Yeah. So if they have any more kids, especially, like next year could potentially pay for parts of their education.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Dude, I think about that a lot. I'm like, I'm so glad my kids are through now.
I was looking at an inflation chart yesterday. You know, it spent me about 45 minutes to find one that wasn't, you know, politically...
Right.
Sweet.
I need a neutral inflation chart.
But it was just showing the various categories of inflation,
yeah.
what has inflated and what hasn't. And yeah. My God, college tuition.
Yeah. Oh,
the good news, though, Sean, textbooks were skyrocketing up with tuition, alongside tuition, until a couple of years ago. For some reason, textbooks balanced out. So thank goodness for that.
E-books.
The, you know, 1.5% of the tuition that is spent on books has gotten a little bit less.
The only good thing about expensive textbooks was you got a lot back for them when you brought them to the bookstore when you needed beer money. That was a big source of beer money.
When my academic career started going downward, just nothing quite like knowing that you were bringing that book in pristine condition.
Yeah,
to turn back in, they're not gonna. I'm gonna get the full amount for this book.
Good.
Sell it back.
This is mint. Mint, I say.
Look at it. You find any creases on the binding of this thing? No, you do not.
No underlines. No highlights. No little side notes jotted down.
Not a little. Yeah, I didn't dog ear any of the pages.
That's
not
it,
one
man.
Bit. You
this
know.
Thing has not been opened. All right,
it's still in the plastic.
There's people wanting Dana Brown to get on the plane with the Braves and go back to Atlanta on the text page.
Hey, Dana Brown.
They're like, take him with you, Atlanta. I don't blame Dana Brown for any of this.
How about Dana Brown trades himself and a prospect for
there you go
for that kid that pitched two nights ago. At least last night he had a good pitcher.
Yeah,
you know, like a bona fide major league pitcher. Two nights ago it was a Triple A dude just owning you.
Shut you down. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So the Astros
Dana
lose.
Brown's like, I scouted that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys. I heard Dana Brown's in the clubhouse after the game. Wow, these guys are pretty good, aren't they?
Like bragging.
You know who,
yeah.
You know who drafted these guys? He's got two thumbs and a big salary in Houston.
That's right. Two thumbs and put this staff together. So the Astros lose. They try to salvage something today. Afternoon start over at Minute Maid Park. JP France on the hill for the Stros. All right, we'll circle back to them a little bit later on. Congratulations, Forrest Whitley, for making your big league debut. Speaking of sports on a diamond with a bat and a ball, the rosters were announced for the J.J. Watt Charity Classic yesterday.
I'm excited. I'm actually genuinely excited.
Dude,
about this. I don't know why.
This is a star. I'm telling you right now, like this is the greatest J.J. Watt Charity Classic in the history of J.J. Watt Charity
really?
Classics. Yes.
You know what? I think J.J.'s been watching the Cactus Jack, you know, and he sees that there's probably some competitive juices now.
Dude, this game is going to be a whole lot of fun. I've got four roster observations for the two teams
okay,
here.
Good,
yeah.
good.
It bounces off of the old Seth man right here, the old Sethers. We're going to do that coming up next.
Yeah, it's not a slow news day. This is important. This is important actual news.
It's the
news.
Number one trending topic right
now. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. Everybody, you guys accuse us of like, hey, you don't have your finger on the pulse of the people. We do. We have our fingers on the pulse of people who still read the Chronicle. Is it a weakening pulse? Yes. Is it about to expire? Certainly. But still, those people are our voice.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Wednesday. Appreciate you tuning in. So they dropped the rosters yesterday for the J.J. Watt Charity Classic. This is the number one trending topic right now is this softball game. It's the first time that J.J. is going to conduct the softball game since 2019. So the last time they had this thing was around the time Jack Easterby started to take over the building. So that was one of the things that we lost in the reign of terror that was Jack Easterby. We lost the J.J. Watt Charity Classic.
Yeah. That's I don't think it's any secret that J.J. was not necessarily a huge fan. Without speaking for anybody or anything, I think it was there were a lot of people that were not fans of the way things were going there, and it ultimately led with a lot of it was a great diaspora. Sean.
Yeah.
Even James Harden even left basically because of Jack Easterby.
Disgusted
he was with what was going on there.
The pandemic may have had something to do with the softball game getting canceled as well, but I choose to believe it was Jack Easterby. So, but this one, man, he's done like six of them, I think. They started out at Constellation Field in Sugarland, and then the last few were at Minute Maid, and he'd pop a good crowd. It's a really fun charity event. It's
well, yeah, he sold out Minute Maid the last time they did it, right?
I don't know if he sold out Minute Maid. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Don't worry about it. Just move on.
Yep.
Yeah.
This one's back at Constellation Field. So the rosters for this I like, because every time JJ did this before, he was an active player. So they'd have a bunch of active Texans come in, and they just divide up the teams. Now he's retired, and NBA All-Star Game. Are you watching? Olds against youngs. That is the way to go with any game these days. Olds against youngs. So it's Texans legends versus current Texans, and it looks like to be on the Texans legends, you had to have been a teammate of J.J. Watt at some point. It's all guys from the era of like 2011 through like 2019. So you got J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, Brian Cushing. D'Amico's going to play in this game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what's nuts is I was looking at this roster and I saw D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
Twice I've saw it. And it didn't, it weirdly didn't register. It went right back to, okay.
Because of the names he's blending in with here. D'Amico Ryans is going to play against a bunch of the guys he's coaching. Shane Leckler, Jonathan Joseph, Antonio Smith.
That'll be a crowd favorite.
Yes. We haven't seen Antonio Smith in a long, long time. TJ Yates, Kareem Jackson, Glover Quinn, Owen Daniels, Kevin Walter. That's the roster for the Texans legends. My first takeaway, two takeaways on the legends roster right there. One, I can't wait to see Antonio Smith because we haven't seen him in a long, long time, and he's a showman. He always was, always will be.
Yeah.
My other takeaway is it would appear that Kareem Jackson is not getting re-signed by the current Houston Texans.
Oh, because he's on current. Oh, that, yeah, he's on the Texans
legends. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's where the really interesting setup comes in, I suppose, is then also with, do we have John Weeks? Yeah, John Weeks playing for the current Texans. Okay,
I was going to get to the current Texans. That's my takeaways from the legends are those two takeaways. The current Texans, and this is a big show of respect from these guys. C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs, Will Anderson Jr., Tank Dell, John Weeks, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard. Now I'm anxious to see if Titus actually plays or if he's just there as a first base coach or something.
Right, he might have to take a vet day.
Yeah.
Or he might just try to just jump over and be with the Texans legends. C.J. called him like the ultimate veteran and that he doesn't do anything he needs to do. Like I always... It always makes me chuckle because he's not actually that old.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't surprise me. Laramie Tunsil's treated himself like he's a 15-year vet since he was a fourth-year vet. So I feel like he might just try to leap over to the Legends side already.
Well, Titus, I'm bringing up just because he's injured. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just wondering if he's going to do anything in that game. But he's on the current Texans team. Jimmy Ward, Kaimi, Case Keenum, who I think falls into the John Weeks category we're about to talk about, Jalen Petrie, Dalton Schultz, Nico Collins, Danielle Hunter. That's a star-studded roster right there. Those are two. I mean, that is a star-studded game if you're a Texans fan. Yes, John Weeks and Case Keenum, whose side are they on? Could they turn on the current Texans and side with their...
Oh, you think there's some WWE type stuff?
Yeah. Whose side are they on? Because they played with all those guys on that other side as well. You know, John Weeks and Case Keenum, they were teammates with most... John Weeks with all of them, Case Keenum with most of them. I would say.
I wonder if Kareem Jackson, the Legends don't have as many numbers as the current Texans.
Yeah.
Who knows? I feel like Kareem Jackson, he's probably pretty close to retiring.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to wait until August to sign with somebody just to see what the right circumstance is. But also, he's going to be in there, he could be talking to D'Amico between innings or something, mm-hmm. and could get signed to the Texans during the seventh inning.
That's true. You're right. It's good FaceTime for Kareem Jackson to try to get re-signed.
If there's one thing I know about what D'Amico looks for in a player, if Kareem Jackson takes out a catcher at home plate or something, if he goes all Mariznick on like Jimmy Ward playing catcher or something, that'll be his dream. He'll sign him on the spot.
Yeah, anybody but CJ. Don't put CJ at catcher. You know what? Stephon Diggs playing in this game here. Cancer? Who's cancer? What? Maybe cancer on your team, Buffalo and Minnesota. Here, he shows respect. He pays homage to franchise legends by playing in their softball game.
Anytime anybody from outside of Houston tries to label Stephon Diggs a cancer in the locker room, I'm gonna let that person think I'm completely serious and earnest and hit them hard with this is an insult to John Mechie or David Quisenberry or anybody Andre Hale.
Wow.
I'm gonna go all white knight.
This
super
is like
virtue signaling. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
This is
use
like
that word
when players say it was a war out there, and you're like, it's really disrespectful to soldiers when you say,
hey, sorry, I didn't know if you've been paying attention the last 250 years
like
or so.
Six wars going on in the world right now. It's really disrespectful.
Yeah,
and your
nice.
Game's not one of them, okay? All right? Then you might want to listen to the Utopia Football podcast tomorrow with Mark Schlereth. He's not a big Stephon Diggs guy.
I know. Yeah, I'm glad that you have him on because we had played that audio of him basically saying you're bringing a turd into the locker room.
Yeah.
Schlereth gushed and gushed about the Friday practices that he observed when he was a broadcaster with the Texans. You come in on a Friday and just they're the most professional, most competitive Friday practices he's seen, which sounds kind of, you might wonder like, okay, well, what does that really matter? I'll just tell you, Friday practices are sometimes an extremely laid back event depending on what team you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of times that's when guys are goofing off at their most if they're not genuine professionals. So it is a sign of a buttoned up professional organization when you're having a really crisp Friday practices.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, it's when it's easy to feel sorry for yourself, but you're also not in pads, so there's not the threat of physical violence isn't like keeping you sharp. So that was actually one of the better compliments I've heard from somebody about the Texans.
He is
not a fan of Stephon Diggs coming into that culture.
He's a fan of literally everything else about the Texans.
Yeah.
He could not stop gushing about the Texans offseason they had. He loves CJ Stroud. He loves D'Amico Ryans, loves them both as players and coaches, but he loves them both as guys, as men. Like, you know, because they get a chance to, as you pointed out, Seth, he covered a few of these games with the Texans this year, and he called it a privilege to cover a Texans game. He corrected himself. He's like, I had the chance, no, the privilege of doing a couple Texan games this year. And he was like, because they get to sit down with these guys, like on Friday and Saturday before the game. He loves them. Schlereth is on the Utopia Football podcast. You'll be able to hear that. It drops on Thursday. So tomorrow morning, the Utopia Football podcast drops. The JJ Watt charity thing, I think it's almost sold out. Because I checked on tickets yesterday. Tickets are sparse. So if you want to go, you need to get on that right away. Let's get to D'Amico Ryans here. D'Amico Ryans talking about his quarterback, C.J. Stroud, and the growth that he can show from year one to year two.
Yeah, with C.J., we're very proud of his success in his first year. I mean, he came in and probably shocked a lot of people with how he played, and he played at a very high level. He continued to progress and get better throughout the entire year, so we're very excited about what he was able to do. Now, can he pick up where he left from, right, as he finished the year off? He had a strong year, but as a player, you always are your toughest critic. Can he continue to master the same thing I talked about, those techniques and fundamentals? Can he master those things to continue to lead our team in the way that he's done it? Excited to be able to work with him for another year. I think for all of our younger players, especially the rookies, last year, that year one to year two, that's where you see the biggest jump, or I've seen in my career. And the guys have a true offseason to dedicate, right, and focus on themselves and them getting better. They don't have to worry about combine or draft prep. They can truly work on the things that we've asked them to do. And I think it's also a plus for him by having Coach Slowick, Coach Gerard, having him back, and we're still doing our same scheme, right, same system. So he's already a step ahead of where he started last year. So I'm excited to see his growth from year one to year two.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, CJ had the year that he had last year with the first 2 months of his offseason having to get ready to get drafted, you know, doing drills to get ready for a combine, flying around the country doing 30 visits with God knows how many teams. This offseason, for the first time in his life, he actually got to take a little time to decompress. He actually got to get some of his receivers out to California to throw with him before the draft, you know, as opposed to last year, where if you've seen that documentary of C.J. Stroud, the offseason documentary, he had him out there, but it wasn't until after the draft and after he got acclimated. He's going to be ahead of the game this year. He's not new to the playbook, a really tough playbook to master. He's had a year to do it. He's had all offseason to do it. It's funny because we mentioned Mark Schlereth, Utopia Football Podcast guest, this week. I asked him that yesterday, like, okay, you watch plenty of C.J. Stroud. What areas do you see him being able to improve in? Because I have a hard time answering that question when people ask me that, when I go on in other markets. Like, well, where do you think C.J. can improve in? I'm like, I don't know. He was pretty damn good in his rookie year. It's hard to find flaws. And Schlereth couldn't really find any. It was one of those things where Schlereth's like, man, I don't really know. And then he just pivoted into talking how awesome C.J. is. Look, I know the run game wasn't great last year. C.J. probably has his part in being able to help that, get them into the right plays, you know, in the passing game, get them into the right protections and so forth. There's probably some classroom stuff that we don't get to see that he could be better at that'll show up on Sundays. So those are some of the things. But it's hard to find stuff. When I asked Schlereth, Seth, like, what do you think CJ can improve on in year two?
Yeah.
He just went for like 15 seconds like I do and hemmed and hawed a little bit. Like, man, it's hard to find anything. And then just did again what I do and talked for 2 minutes about how awesome CJ Stroud is.
There's I think that a lot of it, even when you ask D'Amico Ryans or anybody else, it's a boring answer because it's a lot of just refinement. And it's all that stuff that I think he showed really good aptitude for as a rookie. But some of the pre-snap recognition of defenses, understanding exactly when secondaries are disguising or how they're disguising. Like, CJ was really good at all that. That's how he was able to be so aggressive downfield and to be so efficient, and yet also, you know, not throw any interceptions. It's that he wasn't duped and fooled as often as most rookies are. And when he was duped or fooled, he figured it out. So, like, there's no quick and simple and easy answer. Remember with Deshaun early on, there were a few things. Like, Deshaun did a good job responding to blitz. It took him a little while, you know, in his first two seasons, but part of it was like the corner blitzes and the safety blitzes. That was like a 3-year process for him.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun throwing to the running back or knowing when to dump it off, that was late in coming. All of those things, I feel like CJ over the course of one season did what Deshaun did in his first 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And that's not an insult to Deshaun at all. Deshaun was pretty bright about a lot of that stuff and made way more progress on it than a lot of quarterbacks just get stuck in whatever gear they're in their rookie year. Deshaun moved beyond that. CJ just did it much, much faster.
Text message, CJ's stats are the same as Mac Jones's rookie year. No, they're not. Mac Jones threw 13 interceptions. CJ threw five, and three of them were in one game. Like, what are you talking about?
Mac was incredibly managed.
He was protected.
Carefully managed early on. His yards per attempt in his first few games were very, very low. Like, that's a... that's a really lazy comparison there. I give you a mulligan on that, Texter, but that's a really, really bad comparison.
Yeah, like the one thing CJ, like if you're hanging your hat on anything with CJ Stroud, his rookie year, it's how careful he was with the football while being super aggressive as a quarterback. Yeah. Mac Jones nearly tripled the number of interceptions. What are you talking about?
Josh McDaniels does deserve a lot of credit for that. That might have been his best job coaching in the NFL.
You're absolutely. Yeah,
with Mac Jones,
spot on, no question. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday here. Let's get to headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros. Not a great night at Minute Maid Park last night. NBA play-in is at the end of the dynasty. We will talk about that as well. Headlines are next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Today's headline, and the headline reads, Astros lose again. They lose to the Braves by a score of 6-2 last night. Hunter Brown bounced back. That was the good news from last night. Bad news is they lose. They're 6-13. Hunter Brown bounced back from the worst outing, I would imagine the worst outing of his career at any level. 9 runs in 2/3 of an inning.
Well, yeah, I mean it was record breaking bad.
Yeah,
so it was
T-ball,
the worst,
maybe, or something.
It was the worst
yeah.
performance of many, many, many pitchers.
Yeah.
There are loads of pitchers who never had a performance as bad as that.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Hunter Brown went 6 innings, 2 runs last night, said he was happy to bounce back.
That's probably the worst, if not one of the worst outings of my life. So, you know, I was chomping at the bit to get back out there. You know, I got my teammates' support, you know, leading up to this outing, so you know, I want to go out there and try and deliver some quality innings for the club.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in the rotation. So, like,
he's going to be in the rotation. I guess the big question is, all right, how's Espada going to manage him? I'm having such a hard time with Espada because I get frustrated that, like, in this instance, he didn't pull Hunter Brown quickly enough, sends Dubin out there again through inexperience. But at the same time, they've used more pitchers already than anybody in the league, and they are just beleaguered in so many ways. I don't know if there's a right decision in a lot of these when it comes to pulling a guy or leaving him in. The cupboard is bare. You're down to Forrest Whitley. This is ultimately why Forrest Whitley comes up and needs to learn how to be a reliever.
Yeah, the big criticism I saw last night was that he left Dubin in for the ninth inning. You know, like yesterday it was 2-1. He brings in Hader in the ninth. So he brings in a closer. In this case, the criticism wasn't not bringing in Hader. It was not bringing in Presley, who hasn't pitched in a few days, to pitch the ninth inning. And Dubin had pitched well. Like, he had done all right coming in there. And then things just, second time through, like, it just completely unraveled on him in the ninth inning. And then the game's over, you know?
Yeah. They had a nice little rally going at the bottom of the ninth inning. It was just too much of a deficit, obviously.
Yep. So they lose. Afternoon game today, 1:10 first pitch, J.P. France on the mound for the Astros. So they're trying to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Braves. Even if they do get swept by the Braves, Seth, they come along with a little pound of flesh or bone, as it were. That hit-by-pitch that Spencer Arrighetti hit Ozzie Albies on the toe with the other day. Remember he threw that breaking pitch that sailed too far inside on him? Broke his toe.
Ooh.
Put him on the IL. Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Wait, and who was it that thwopped Acuna? Was it last night? Was it Bregman that hit? No, or was it the Meyer? Who was it? Acuna took a rough one off of his knee.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
He might have broken his damn patella on that. He stayed in the game, but it was a brutal one.
Yeah, man.
The thing caromed off into left field. It was crazy.
Yeah. So Arrighetti, at least we got Ozzie Albies. At least we broke a toe of an opposing player.
Yeah, keep on hurting these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, take some out of them. Sure, it's not like it's a divisional foe or anything, obviously. But still, why not?
There you go.
We owe them, all right?
Play-in in the Western Conference last night. The Lakers move on. The Warriors go home. So the Lakers, who've been one of the better teams in the NBA in the second half of the season, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans last night, 110-106. They had a big lead in this game, the Lakers. Let the Pelicans get back in. The big story coming out of this game, two things, Seth. The Lakers winning, obviously, so they move on. They're going to be the seventh seed.
Yeah.
The Pelicans now, because they lost, they are going to play the Sacramento Kings, who won the other play-in game over the Warriors.
Yeah.
But the second big story coming out of this, the health of star power forward Zion Williamson. Stop me if you've heard this before. Zion Williamson left the game with an injury last night. So he was dominant in the game. This is his postseason debut, and he was awesome, but he had to leave the floor in the final minutes of a tight game, and I've not seen any news yet. He had 40 points and 11 rebounds last night, so he was dominating the basketball game. But then with 3 minutes to go, he went to the locker room. He threw a towel to the floor in disgust as he walked into the tunnel with an apparent injury. They're calling it left leg soreness right now.
It's a tough one. If I were Zion Williamson's parents, at some point when he was younger, they should have decided to have him play defensive end instead of focus on that. I feel like he's one of the rare NBA players where I know for certain I think he'd be better off in the NFL. He's just too damn big. It's like he cannot be running up and down the court every night at that body weight.
Yeah.
And at that size. So whatever. I mean, he's going to do fine financially, but he could have found greatness as a defensive end.
That's just what I was going to bring up. I was going to say, you tell me, Seth, if he's going to wind up making, he's in the first year of a contract extension that's going to pay him $200 million.
All right, that was a dumb thing I said earlier.
Well,
I don't know if you guys remember back when I said that Zion Williamson should have played football instead of basketball.
18 seconds ago.
He would have been just as injured playing football, realistically.
Dude.
So he might as well do it in a climate-controlled environment.
There you go. 5-star hotels. Yeah.
I love, everything you need to know about the state of the NBA regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And whether people care about the regular season or not, is the fact that now people are wondering, is the Warriors dynasty over after they lost a play-in game?
Right.
Remember, the fact that they were in a play-in game wasn't a sign that the Warriors dynasty
they were the 10
was over.
Seed.
Yeah.
That's great. I hadn't even thought about that because I'm so conditioned to it now.
Right, right. You're like, wait a second. Is the dynasty over? They're the 10 seed.
Oh, okay.
And then it was over before they played the game. If it were a normal. And then you got Draymond Green. What did you say Draymond Green afterwards was pressuring over?
I heard a cut from Draymond Green when I was driving in this morning on Maggie and Perloff. They were playing it. And they're talking about Klay Thompson, who's a free agent. And Klay was abysmal. Klay was 0-for last night. He scored 0 points. He was 0-for-10. He was 0-for-6 from 3. And he's been bad this year. It's not his fault. He tore an Achilles and he tore a knee. Like, this is what happens. Draymond is pining for Klay to get, like, a max deal or so. Like, oh, yeah, Joe and whoever, the owners, like, they're going to take care of Klay. They're going to take care of Like, what are you talking about, man? Like,
Lacob said, remember, they're light years ahead of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, they weren't light years ahead of this.
No.
And they didn't realize that people get old. I bet, man, these Silicon Valley bros, man, in their mind, you know, everything is limitless and there's you can do anything. Lacob, in his mind, at some point, thought that they were going to find, like, the fountain of eternal youth.
Yeah.
Except, you know, in the form of a vial of regenerated DNA or something.
Yeah.
But it's not working out that way.
No.
And Draymond Green, the potentially bellyaching about doing what's right or whatnot. Like, his suspensions are the very reason they got off to a 19-24 start.
Right. God, that's such a great point. Like, I'm asking myself that driving in. I'm like, man, is the dynasty over? Are we finally rid of the Golden State Warriors? They're the 10 seed, dude. Yeah, like, it's,
Except that, but it doesn't really matter that they could still be a dynasty because the play-in is just I don't want to say it's an afterthought or anything, but it's just not the scarlet letter that it would have been in earlier years.
Oh, for sure. Blake Griffin retired after 14 seasons yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I completely missed that.
Yeah.
I grew to like him.
I like Blake Griffin. I think he's one of the most overrated players of all time, but I like him.
Yeah, but I grew to like him.
Yeah, no, I did too. I can separate liking somebody and them being overrated for sure. Like, but he was... Like, the fact that people treated him like he was in the conversation for among the best players in the game. Like, he was among the most spectacular dunkers and explosive players. I love
those tiny little gator arms that made it impossible for him to defend people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I do like the fact that he fell in love with his jump shot quite a bit when the Rockets were a team that faced them in the playoffs. Like, that he was on that Clippers team that had that huge lead against the Rockets in Game 6 and then couldn't score.
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
He was like shooting from anywhere.
Yep.
The biggest thing, you know what I think tipped the scales were some of the creepy stories about Donald Sterling. When Donald Sterling was booted out, like these creepy stories emerged about him kind of like parading Blake Griffin around as a way to get chicks. And it was weird. It was really, really weird.
Yes. Yep. Those are your headlines for today as we
roll
on here. That's it. Yeah, I mean, we got more, but we'll save them for the 8 at 8. We got a few more. Trevor Lawrence is talking about his new contract and
we've got to get disgruntled Callis. Callis, yeah. One thing that's brought out, this adversity has brought out a different side of Todd Callis this year, and I'm here for it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we'll hit that at 7:20 on the show today for sure. We will get to Todd Callis. Hey, Todd Callis might be the hero that we all need. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. But we've got Will Anderson. Will Anderson met with the media. Will Anderson on his new teammates. Will Anderson on anything is good radio. Will Anderson talking about his new teammates, particularly two of them that are going to make his life a whole lot easier. We got that coming up for you next.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.